Guys News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp, along with my guest that I have on the program today. It's Walter Stringer from the Lions Avenue Podcast. And look, Walt does a hell of a good deep dive into the draft and everything, but we got to talk about the playoffs because I've seen how fired up Walt was yesterday about this whole LA Lakers, Detroit Pistons, like kind of throwback to the old days where it was just like constant shade being thrown towards Lions. I mean, you had Michael Irvin saying the Detroit Lions still play at Silverdome, which was absolutely freaking hilarious. And then you just have people calling Jahmyr Gibbs, which makes no damn sense. So, well, it's great to have you on, man.
Man, it's a pleasure to be on. First time being here. Love the overlay, man. I love the work you put into this podcast, man. Love the setup. You could tell you really take what you do serious, and I appreciate that. I can appreciate that as much as anybody else because I understand how much, as podcasters, money-wise, we put into this stuff to give the public a quality product.
Yeah,
you do a good job, man.
When we come on here, we got to try to give people what they want, you know, and give them actually good stuff, you know. You guys do a good job with Lions Avenue, and there's a lot of other good ones out there, but you guys do a great – you and Deshante do a hell of a job out there, so I love it.
Appreciate it.
So I figured we start out with the injury report. Obviously, today we talked about – I mean, today we heard from Ian Rapoport that Sam Laporta will be potentially playing today, so he's probably going to play. But if you looked at the injury report, it was Jerry Jacobs is out. He's going to be on IR. Houston's out, still on IR. James Mitchell had hand surgery. Khalif Raymond's out. John Kaminsky's dealing with the illness. He's questionable. And then Sam Laporta, obviously, we just talked about that. Ian Rapoport says that he is going to be playing. I'm wondering from your feeling, what do you think about that, Walter?
Funny enough, out of all of them, I'm kind of really down on the fact that James Mitchell won't be playing. That kind of came from out of nowhere. I thought a couple weeks ago everyone expected him to be a big part of this defense, a big part of this offense. A lot of 12-man, 13-man personnel. That kind of goes out the window.
Yeah.
Given the fact that, you know, he was used mainly as a blocker with the emergence of Sam Laporta. But people forget James Mitchell is also a very solid pass-catching tight end. So not having him, also Brock Wright. Right situation with his hip, him being hampered, Sam being hampered. I think it puts a huge, huge load of the workload on the wide receiver core.
Yep.
And I believe offensively, that's been the one group of, you know, players that's been kind of underwhelming outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, we get solid possession catches on third down, drive extenders from time to time from Josh Reynolds. But outside of that, Khalif is sort of a guy who shows up and has a special game every 3 or 4 weeks. Donovan Peoples-Jones hasn't given us much. So I think it's going to put a large load of work on the wide receiver core. Now, James Houston, didn't expect him to come back anyway. I thought it was kind of wishful thinking over the past few weeks once Lions fans heard about him being back on the team. Even if he would have played, what could we expect? What kind of get-off could we expect? You know, he's not healthy at all. And if he would have been here all season, along with a Chauncey Gardner, just imagine how much better this defense would have been. So, yeah, I think the James Houston situation, I don't garner that too much because we didn't have him pretty much the entire season anyway. And I do think we have guys, as you and I discussed in the pre-show, we do have guys that can create some interior pass rush out of that three tech and as well as that four tech and that four eye. So, we definitely have some advantages despite the injuries because the Rams have their own load of injuries. And I'm not as down on it as much as a lot of people are right now.
Yeah, the one thing I think about this in this game, obviously you look at James Houston, you're like, man, it'd be great to have him on, you know, pass rushing away from Aiden Hutchinson. But if you look at it, like one of the big matchups that I've been looking at, and I looked at the Pro Football Focus and kind of like the grades and everything, but you know, you look at the mismatch advantage. I mean, Coleman Shelton, their center, is going to be going against Lee McNeil, and Lee McNeil has a 12.1 win rate, and he missed four games this year. So, I mean, you talk about that, and you look at Lee McNeil and how good he was doing before the injury, and how he looked pretty good coming back. I just think that they don't really need James Houston now. I think if you get to like the Dallas game where you get to the divisional round, that's when you could use him. But I mean, I think Aiden Hutchinson will have a good day against these tackles for the Rams because they're not that great.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I believe more than just Aiden can eat. I think Josh Pascal can eat. I think Levi is a guy that's kind of getting lost in all of this with Bugs being gone and Benito being leaned on more as that nose, as the run stopper to do a lot of two gapping. That opens it up for a guy like a true three technique in Levi Onwuzurike. So to me, things are set up. Our strength is our offensive line. You look at their defensive line, their defensive front, they like to run that 3-4. They moved Aaron on out to the edge later on in his career. Still had 8 sacks. You know, if you look at it for what it is, people view that as a disappointment for him simply because we've seen so many outrageous statistical seasons. But 8 sacks for an interior defensive lineman is still very good. So you still have to account for him, you know. But, I just think that defensive line-wise, their offensive line is beat up. And what have we done against teams with beat up offensive lines throughout the season? We
beat
feast
up on them. Yeah.
We feast on them. You can call us vultures or whatever you want, but when we see a wounded animal, we'll jump on it. So I don't think this offensive line is just going to miraculously play better in this situation against us on the road. And we're healthy the way we are right now. And Bugs not being there may be a gift for us. Because I do believe it's going to open up the door for some of these other versatile defensive tackles to play and start eating. We got guys that can really rush the passer. And now Ben Johnson has no choice but to play him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because when I was after the Kansas City game, Isaiah Bugs tweeted out that he's with some real dogs now. Well, you didn't even play, brother. So it's like, what's wrong
with some real dogs? Are you part of them?
He ain't a part of them. But it's funny because like we talked about it. I talked about this before, like earlier this week. And I think we talked about it on the Darcy show with the Detroit Lions podcast, Lions guys. The one of the things I'm looking at is a Branch versus Cup matchup because, you know, obviously Cup is going, he spends 60% of his time in the slot. Brian Branch is 95.6% of his time in the slot. And I just feel like as bad as Cam Sutton's been, as bad as Cam Sutton is kind of dealing with the injury to this point, I feel like Brian Branch against Cup or Nacua, if you add them up, it's 90% of the time either one of them is in the slot. You know, Brian Branch has been one of our best pass defenders. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like if Brian Branch is on one of those guys, I feel a little bit confident that he can get it done. And I feel like if there's a pass that he puts, if Matthew Stafford puts a pass against Brian Branch that could be picked off, I think Brian Branch can pick it off. Now, hopefully what they did last game with Ifeatu Melifonwu playing as a cornerback and Cameron Sutton on the other side, I feel like that's a good matchup for this Lions team because I feel like a guy like Melifonwu would be great on him. Nacua, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That big body, speedy. He did play corner. He's playing safety right now, but I still think that's a good matchup for the Lions.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Lions have a bigger advantage in that secondary versus guys at the perimeter matchup against the Rams, the people that actually understand. Our strength in our secondary is our safeties. That's what they built the defense around. The 4-2-5 around is built around the strength of the safeties. You're going to play those four safeties.
Yep.
And our best bet, I think, against those two guys for the Rams is for it to be a collective team effort. I don't think Branch is going to see him extensively all the time. You got Chauncey out there. Chauncey can drop back, play that center third field. He can also come in up in the slot and cover corner, cover wide receiver, cover slots. He can blitz. Doesn't blitz as much anymore. But Branch also can do that. And you mentioned Melifonwu as far as the matchup with Nacua. Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. They're both around the same height. If he may be a little bit thicker, a little bit bigger than Puka right now, a little more physical, but he's the perfect matchup for him, you know, because at the end of the day, Sutton's too small. Yep. Any other corner we have that's out there is not going to be good enough, and they're going to be too small. So to me, it's got to be a collective effort, and we have to make sure for me, and I mentioned this earlier on Darcy's show, matter of fact, earlier in the week, if we could find a way to get our four best safeties out there and keep them out there consistently, that's our best chance of covering those dudes. And that's Chauncey out there for the leadership and the versatility and the playmaking ability. That's Kirby Joseph running that deep zone to his best of his ability. And, you know, you got whether they decide to play Tracy may play a role in this as well.
Yep.
If he's not going anywhere.
No.
He's not going anywhere. And Branch isn't going anywhere. So those, I think, are our four best defensive backs. And that's before you even get to Sutton, who's an actual corner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got versatility back there. And if they wanted to move Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on one of them, or they wanted to move Melifonwu back, they could do a lot of different things in a lot of different disguises, you know? Like, if they really wanted to, they could have all of those guys out there, and then someone's going on a blitz at the last minute. You know what I'm saying? That's something that I like to look at. It's just fun to look because Aaron Glenn has never had his full complement of players this week.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I mean, we came into this year, we thought Emmanuel Mosley was going to be the second corner. That lasted all of two snaps. we thought Chauncey Gardner-Johnson would be playing. He didn't play for a majority of the year. You know, it's basically been Hutch, a bunch of other guys. Liam McNeil missed some time. You know, John Kaminsky, as good as he does with his, you know, tackling, he's been in and out of the lineup pretty much. I mean, it's a young
team. They've continued to win. And I think that's something that people aren't giving us credit for.
No,
never losing two straight games all season, despite all the injuries we had. And that's not even touching the offensive line injuries.
They ain't giving any the Lions credit because I swear to you, Walt, me and you talked about this pre-show. These people don't watch the Detroit Lions. They just don't, man. Like, I hear Jahmyr Gibbs, and I'm like, bro, you don't watch this team worth a shit. Or when I hear Michael Irvin say that they still play in a Silverdome, bro, that was 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, like, crazy to me.
And also, Stafford knows every single spot on the field.
Oh, does he? It's new turf. It's like, what the hell? But yeah. it's just funny to me because, you know, Aaron Glenn got his full complement of players that he thought he would have, except Mosley. And I think that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson being back, that's huge because it gives a little bit more depth in the safety department.
Yep.
And he's a baller. I mean, you can't say anything. The one thing he does great in the game is make tackles. He doesn't miss tackles.
The confidence also. Not that this young team needed any more confidence. I think that's also something, as you mentioned, people who don't watch us don't take into account the things that we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
As young as this team is, and for them to not have a lot of high-end talent on defense or whatnot, they go on the road and travel well.
Yeah.
You don't find too many young teams that go on the road and seem like they play better on the road than they do at home sometimes. That's another reason why I'm not really worried about this team. Some people think that the moment may be too big for them. How often do we see, since last season, after the 1-6 start, how often have we seen this team led by Dan Campbell go out and the game just look too big for them? Maybe the Baltimore game?
Yeah, but even the Baltimore game, I would say that they just got.
And the Carolina game last year was honestly a fluke. I thought the Carolina did to us what certain teams could do to us last season, which was line up at 12-man personnel and just beat us up.
Yeah.
That was last year.
I think Baltimore game, that was more of like a – they went on the road, and I don't think they expected Baltimore to be that great. You know what I'm saying? I think they expected Baltimore to be good, but I think a lot of teams that go to Baltimore think, oh, shit, like, you know, we could beat this team, and then they get in a track meet, and they're like, holy shit, like, what do I do, dude?
This defense is real. The loudness in this stadium is real.
Man, you got Lamar Jackson just making – chicken out of chicken shit. Like, it's just like, what the hell?
You hear
like,
former players say that going to play at Baltimore is a scary place. Like, when that crowd gets into it and those Ravens start flying over the top of the stadium, and it's crazy there.
It's insane because, like, when you talk about it, like, the NFC teams that go to Baltimore, they only got one loss. Like, the Baltimore Ravens have only had one loss at their stadium with NFC teams coming in. And everyone brings up the Rams-Ravens game where the Rams took them to overtime and blah, 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 blah. But the one thing I think about that game is, number one, that was one of Lamar Jackson's worst games of the season, and he still had a good game. And number two, one of the things we're going to talk about in a few is the whole reason that this Rams team is absolutely gettable, and there's going to be a guy that's going to have to show out, whoever is a punt returner for the Lions is going to have to show out, because they are horrible. They are horrible. Yeah, I think it could be DPJ, to be honest. I think DPJ is going to be the punt returner today. But look, this is what I was talking about. They're the worst in the NFL in average return. The worst. They're giving up, I think it's like 21 yards per return. They're the worst. Their special teams is 31st in the NFL. Another thing that people don't understand is if you're going to be going to this game today, be loud when they kick kick the field goals or extra points. Because the one thing that this Rams team sucks at is special teams. They are absolutely brutal. We think that the Detroit Lions are brutal in the special teams department. They're worse. They're way worse than anybody we play.
Yeah, they're also one of the worst in the league in zone coverage. And they play zone 95% of the time. So, like, okay, so you're going to play this cover three zone. You're going to close the middle of the field, but you're going to still give up all these damn yards. And you're going to let Jared Goff, who wants to do that. Jared is perfectly happy not forcing the ball down the field. So you're going to make it easier for our wide receivers. We got the issues we have at wide receiver right now. So now you're going to give Donovan Peoples-Jones or Jameson Williams these open comebacks. Yeah. You're going to give them digs. And if Ben Johnson decides to do what he should do in order to really open up the middle of the field, start running some split field concepts, that's why I feel a guy like Antoine Green and Jameson Williams, those are two dudes that should play today. That speed is going to change the offense for us tonight, if they allow those guys to go out there and play.
I think they have to.
I just feel like somebody has to be that guy, that unsung hero to step up in this playoff game for us in the receiving room.
I feel like this is a game that Jameson Williams kind of breaks out, to be honest, because I look at this team, and I don't know where the graphic went, but one of the things about this team, I got a couple stats for you, Walter. Three of the top players in this game in missed tackle percentage are from the LA Rams cornerbacks. Three of the top four in this game for yards after reception, Yak, are LA Rams. Witherspoon's giving up 14.9. Kendrick's giving up 14.5. Durant's giving up 14.2. Like, that's a lot of freaking yards you're giving after the catch, man. And if you give a guy,
might be their best corner.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was hearing the Lockdown Rams guy, and he was talking about how they have a guy he's a safety. He's one of their best defensive backs. I go, okay, let me just tell you this right now. If one of your best defensive backs is a safety who plays deep all the time, you got problems. Because number one, you're going to have to make tackles against the Lions. I don't care who you are. Yeah. A guy like Jamison's going to get away from you. A guy like St. Brown's going to get away from you. And a guy like, if Laporta's playing at least 80%, he's going to get away from you. I mean,
even before you get to the run game. Montgomery's going to get to the second level on you. And yeah. You're going to have to eventually tackle him too.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going to have to eventually chase down Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah,
we force you to tackle. We definitely do.
You got to tackle. And if you don't tackle, you're probably going to lose this game. And I look at this and I go, the guy who has the best coverage grade of this whole game is going to be Brian Branch. So that tells you everything you need. No, I mean, it's not the Rams player. It's not anybody else. But there is a guy who, if you're kind of thinking, okay, who's the guy to pick on the most? It's this guy. He's the penalty king this week. It's Kendrick. Now,
Darian Clemson Tiger, huh? And Georgia Bulldog.
The Georgia Bulldog, Clemson Tiger, transfer portal era. He's got 11 penalties, Walter, but he's got 20 penalties that he was called against, but they just didn't accept, like, I think 9 of them. So when I saw that, I was like, I went back over the game logs and I was like, man, he gets all these penalties all the time, like pass interference, pass interference, pass interference. And then I looked at the wide receivers that he had all those issues with, and it's speedy guys, like kind of like, if you had a Jameson or a St. Brown, like, he struggles with those guys that are elusive. He does like the guys that are physical. So if he was on Josh Reynolds, he'd be all right. But like, he hates those elusive, agile wide receivers. And with this wide receiver group, I mean, even DPJ is agile and elusive. So this is a game where if I'm looking at something that could sway the game in the Lions' favor, it's this guy. I mean, you have 11 penalties. I mean, that's just 20 were called, but only 11 were accepted. I mean, that's just that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very well possible. Like I said, once you get away from the defensive line of the Rams, things get kind of sketchy as far as playmakers for them. Like I said, they give up a ton of yards. They give up the touchdowns. They play zone a good solid 95% of the time. They don't come out of it. They don't play the man. So it's like, and then you throw out there that they don't really have the highest quality corners as well. And I'm with you 100%. I think this is a game where if Jameson's going to do it, we need him to do it here. You know, as Lions fans, and as I'm pretty sure people within that organization, we're still waiting to see him. We've seen multiple games like this from Garrett Wilson. We've seen multiple games like this from Chris Olave and Drake London. As Lions fans, we're still waiting on that 8-catch, 175, 2-touchdown game from Jameson to really let everyone know he's here. And I think this defense right here, if they can neutralize the interior pass rush of the Rams, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Because the Rams aren't going to be able to run the football. And you'd be hard-pressed to actually convince me to believe that the Rams are going to come here and do what only three other teams were able to do all season.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
And I look at this, there's also this Los Angeles defense getting up 2% more points than league average. 6% Los Angeles concedes more passing yards than league average. And then 27% Detroit concedes less rushing yards on their defensive side. Everyone talks about Kyren Williams, but I'm telling you right now, there is no defense that's more capable of stopping Kyren Williams than this defense right here. There's just none.
People are just talking out their ass, man.
I mean, you look at all these
talk about Kyren Williams is going to run the ball on us. Behind what offensive line?
You look at this. You look at all these running backs like Pollard, okay? Pretty good year, 49 yards. Yeah. I mean, the one guy that kind of did pretty damn good was Josh Jacobs, and he got 61. You know, Gus Edwards, 64. Like, that was a game that they were pretty much around the ball the whole game. You know, Bijan got 33. Walker got Kenneth Walker got 43. Pacheco, 23. Like, Eckler got 67. That was the highest of the whole year until Chandler last week. But it was like, come on, man. Like, there's Kamara got 51. Like, there's no defense that has done as well against the run than the Detroit Lions. And that's something that I look at, and I'm like, man, when people talk about Kyren Williams running all over Detroit, I'm like, what are you watching, dude? They're like, it's clearly you don't watch, because the Lions' defense is their best thing has been their run game, run defense.
Well, I mean, people are talking about us like we're a 9-win team. Like, the league just penciled us in for 12 wins. We really didn't play anybody. We just showed up and had 12 wins, whatever. This team, you understand this more than anybody else, I'm pretty sure. What does it mean when you're top five in the league in stopping the run and you're top five in the league in rushing sides of the football?
It means you're pretty damn good in the trenches, you know?
Okay. And typically, don't those teams win?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, my thing about this, though, well, is this. People talk about this Lions team, right? And they're like, oh, like they haven't played no one. Or I hear that all the time. I heard that with Michael Irvin on that. But you didn't watch that, but you got to go back and watch it, because that was funny as hell. Just a total comedy show.
Yeah,
but
it is.
He was saying the Lions haven't played no one. So what? The Dallas Cowboys ain't no one? You know, holding you guys to 20 points at Dallas when you guys are averaging.
My thing
40?
Is, why is he bagging on us so hard? Well, I understand now. I just understood midpoint. Like, why? I was about to ask, why is he bagging on us so hard, but riding the Rams so much? Oh, it's because he's kind of sick about what happened. I think there's some Cowboy fans that still looking at us sideways, like, yeah, whatever. You guys think that you almost had us and this and that.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm pretty clear on this. The Cowboys don't want to see Detroit. There's a lot of teams that don't.
They don't want to see
Detroit for a couple reasons. Number one, they stop the run. Number two, they can run the ball on you. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, the three games that Detroit ran for like under 100 yards was when Dave Montgomery was hurt. When he got hurt mid-game and there was no Jahmyr Gibbs and Craig Reynolds was running the ball. And then there was a couple other games that were they basically the Baltimore game where they had to pass to get, you know, make plays. And then there was a Green Bay game where they just kind of struggled. And me and you were in lockstep this whole time saying we did not want to play Green Bay because Green Bay presents a lot of challenges for this offense. Their front seven's great. And I feel like if I was going to pick a team that I was going to play, I was going to play the Rams.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You covered it all right there. I mean, I said it as soon as it came out that Sunday night, like, let Dallas and Dak deal with that shit. Like, Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark and Quay Walker and, like, all of these interchangeable 6'5", 270-pound dudes who can all rush the passer, who can all play 3-tech, play 4-tech, play 5, play 6. Like, these are dudes who Jared did not want to see. No. And as great as our offensive line can be, they struggle against Green Bay.
Yeah.
And then there's no element of surprise with Green Bay. Granted, the Rams played us 3 years ago when we were in the embryonic stages of our rebuild, and they were really good, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. But things are different now. The talent is completely different on this team. Goff is 3 years removed from being under Sean McVay. You know, things are completely different right now.
And I love when people go back and they say, oh, this Rams team has playoff experience. I mean, where? Besides Cooper Kupp, besides Aaron Donald, besides Matthew Stafford, like who has the playoff experience? There is no Andrew Whitworth at left tackle. There is no Von Miller on the edge. There is no Odell Beckham. There is no Jalen Ramsey. Like, get the hell out of here, dude. Like, it's silly season with all these predictions and all these things because when we look at the betting line, so it's spread who? As underdogs, the Rams are 2-6. As favorites, the Lions are 11-3. That should tell you everything you need to know about why this is happening and why the line has not moved. The public money is all over the Rams, right? Public money is all over the Rams. But the one thing that's not on the Rams side is the sharp bettors. And those are the guys that make all the money betting on these games because they know what they're doing. They're professional bettors. And they know. And the line hasn't moved. If Vegas' job is to balance the money. So if 97% of the tickets of the public money is on the Rams and you got 3% that are holding serve with the point spread, just saying. It's a really easy game to kind of get with that. I mean, they're not going to keep the point spread at 3 if 97% of the tickets are right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Vegas knows us.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. Vegas knows us. Vegas knows the Rams. Outside of the people who, the casual fans.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of casual fans that actually work for the NFL as well, that work for these networks that cover football. They don't really watch. There's certain teams that they watch. I watched the interview with Trent Dilfer a couple of days ago on the podcast. He talked about how doing television was just it was kind of irritating, different because you're not really allowed to say what you want to say. You got to talk about what they want you to talk about, and overall, it just is what it is, and it's hard to really be yourself. And I'm gonna say this, Joe: put yourself in the shoes of a non-Lions fan. You're from Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're from you're from Miami, Florida, where you're from Texas, wherever you're from. And you have this outside perception of the Detroit Lions. Like, they've never been squat since you've been alive.
Right.
Some people just find it hard to believe it.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they look at the team and say, you know what? This team has been on a tear ever since they started 1-6 last season.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at it for this, instead of just viewing everything as the shoe is going to eventually drop on Detroit. And I think that's what it is for a lot of people. Like, even if they beat the Rams tonight, let's say they beat them handily, it still won't be on their own merit. The excuse is Monday. Like I said, the excuse is Monday morning will be Aaron Donald's past his prime and Sean McVay was dealing with an undisclosed heart issue and Matthew Stafford had a bruised shoulder since week 4. And yeah, Cooper Kupp hurt his ankle. That's why I hope everybody stays healthy.
Yeah.
I do not want to see Wentz at all. I want to beat Stafford.
Yeah.
Because you know that'll be another excuse. Well, you guys won, but Stafford went out with this, and it won't be on our own accord. Hell, they'll find a way if the Bucks beat Philly and Green Bay beats Dallas, that means Tampa comes here next week. They'll find ways to pick Tampa.
Oh yeah.
Because Tampa has championship pedigree from 3 years ago.
It just doesn't make sense to me. Like I laugh at it because like they're I mean, obviously I hear it from people that I know that are not Lions fans. They go, "Oh, it's a Lions." Well, that's not the right thing to say. Like if you're going to be honest with yourself, like if you're going to talk about a team, you better know what you're talking about.
But you don't have to. Television doesn't even hold NFL people to that standard anymore. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. You hear these people who played 12, 13, 14 years in the league, made Pro Bowls, refer to a Lion game as, well, it's the Lions.
No, I agree. It's just funny to me because I hear from people that I know, like, oh, it's the Lions, and this is how they're going to do it, and they haven't done anything. I tell them all the time, I've seen the Boston Red Sox win the World Series, okay? I've seen the San Jose Sharks, who were habitual chokers in the playoffs, just make a Stanley Cup. They didn't win a Stanley Cup. They made a Stanley Cup, okay? St. Louis Blues won a Stanley Cup. They were habitual chokers, too. They went to the Stanley Cup final multiple times and never won. They were known as the choking team in the NHL. And guess what they win? Chicago Cubs. Sports, you can never say that one team is going to stay the same the whole time. Just we've seen the Arizona Cardinals go to the Super Bowl, okay? So that tells you everything you need to know. They're one of the losingest franchises in NFL history. So yeah. It's just funny to me. All right, so let's talk about our concern level. Is there I know that me and you have are kind of locked up on this, but are you concerned about this game today? And what concerns you the most?
If I could put my concern at a level of whether they're gonna win or lose, I would put it somewhere at maybe a four.
Right. That's me too.
Just because, you know, we have enough common sense on this to understand that the better team in football doesn't always win. It's not a 7-game series. You can go out there and just lay an egg. Yep. Guys can be beat up from practicing all week. Mentally, they can be worn down from film all week. This guy could have gotten to it with his wife before the game, and now his brain isn't in it. You can deal with a few bad calls early. Guys drop passes early a lot. And we've seen it for years. When it comes to like playoff football, tensions run high.
Yep.
And it's like one or two things can throw a team off that happens in the first quarter of a game. Like I said, how are the refs going to call the game? Do we go into halftime saying between the Lions and the Rams, we had 16 penalties in the first half? We have no idea exactly how things are going to turn out, though.
No, I agree with you right there. My whole thing about this concern level is the only thing I'm concerned about, and it's the only thing I'm concerned about, is if like they do get interior pass rush on Jared Goff. You know what I'm saying? Because I do know that one of Jared Goff's strengths this year has been he's been better at pressure, not turn into a sack. Yeah. So he's top three in that. There's Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen ahead of him, but it's him at third. And I look at that and I go, okay, that says anything. But when you got guys like Aaron Donald and Kobe Turner, kind of feasts on quarterbacks holding onto the ball too much, that's something I get concerned about. But like the major thing that doesn't really concern me is, I think the Lions can run all over this team. I just feel like in my bones, like if you're going to win in the playoffs, you know, me and you know this, Walt, more than anybody. If you're going to win in the playoffs, you got to have a run game. You got to be able to stop the run. Those are two of the things that you need in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think they can throw the ball all over this defense too.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, man. I look at their defensive stats. Like if we look at the defense stats right now, like you look at it, they're mirroring each other. I mean, passing yards, they're both giving up 225 plus a game. Rushing yards, the Lions obviously are better than them. It's nearly a point difference in the points. Detroit's better on third down, so I think that's one of the things that I look at. And there's also another thing. This is an elusive rating, so it's how elusive your running back is, when he's carrying the ball. And Gibbs is a better one. of anybody, obviously. We know that. And then Williams is second, but Montgomery is not far behind. Okay. Montgomery's not far behind. That's the shocking part to me. And then the breakaway percentage. This is how many times they get away from the team. Look at that. Gibbs 38.6, Montgomery 21.8, and then you got Williams 21.7. And I've told people from the start this week, well, the reason Kyren Williams gets the yardage he gets is because he gets a plethora of runs. He gets carries up the wazoo, okay? Montgomery doesn't get those carries, and Gibbs don't get those carries. They split carries, okay? And one of the things that I notice is when Sean McVay goes, when the run game is not there, he goes away from it. It's not to his detriment, but that's what he does. Like it's when the run game isn't going, he starts getting panicked, and for a Super Bowl head coach, you would think a Super Bowl head coach would be like, okay, we're gonna keep running the ball, and eventually we're gonna break one. But him. He's his exact opposite. You know, he'll be like, all right, we can't run the ball. We're not gonna run the ball. We're gonna go back to our passing the ball with Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell, who is like 5'9". It's like, all right, whatever. You wanna do that? Let's turn it into a shootout.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be different for McVay. Cause if you look at even when the Rams were in their heyday with Goff and going to the Super Bowl and winning all those games and whatnot, they were still built off of Todd Gurley, you know, in the run game. So I think he understands how valuable the run game is, especially to Stafford. You know, a couple years ago, they won the Super Bowl off the right arm of Stafford. He had some issues that season with some picks through 17, I believe. But at the end of the day, he came there and he did what they felt Jared Goff couldn't do, which was lead those game-winning drives in big moments. He did it in the NFC Championship against Frisco. He did it in the Super Bowl against the Cincinnati Bengals. So they understand also he's been beat up a lot since that Super Bowl. He was beat up a lot here. So he was damaged goods when they got him. They managed to win with him. And for the moment in time being, they're still winning now with him with a younger roster. But if they can't run the football, it's bad for him.
That's
why it's hard for me to really believe that they're going to come in here and they're going to run the ball all over us and they don't even have an offensive line. For everybody who's saying this on television that Kyren Williams has been hot as of late, you fools, we've been hot all season.
But look who they played.
Our run defense has been hot all season. You telling me about some shit that Kyren Lacy done the last 4 weeks.
But look who they played, though. I mean, you know, we talk about the Baltimore defense, how good they are. You know what I'm saying? One of their struggles is against the run. I mean, they give up 100 plus a game. And so, like, when I looked at the Rams and who they played, and I go, okay, they've literally played chicken shit. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, the Cleveland Browns are good, but we got to remember when they played the Cleveland Browns, it was Flacco's first game. Yeah. We've seen what the Cleveland Browns were yesterday. And that's just what the way it goes. Like, I don't value anyone that they beat in the last couple games. I mean, you want to say
that. You notice this, though? You notice how they give them credit for the games they want to give them credit for and discredit us for those same games. We got common opponents. They want to give them credit for going toe-to-toe and losing the overtime to the Ravens and the Ravens kicking our ass, but they don't want to give us credit for going into Dallas and doing what nobody else did.
Yeah, because the Rams got smoked in Dallas.
Because at the end of the day, we both lost. We lost to Dallas twice. I mean, Dallas beat both us.
Yep.
And the Ravens beat both of us.
Yeah.
But you can argue shit. Dallas was a juggernaut at home.
Okay, if you're going to give...
And Dallas destroyed them.
Part of the reason I think this is stupid is because Dallas destroyed them. Baltimore destroyed us. So there's a 1-1, right? And then we played tough against Dallas. They played tough against Baltimore. No one's disputing that. But we played against a full-fledged Baltimore team, okay? When Baltimore went against L.A., there was no Mark Andrews, okay? Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends in football. You know, when you go against Mark Andrews, there's no Mark Andrews. I mean, I got to tell you, it's going to be a lot easier than it was for the Lions. You know what I'm saying? And people just don't understand that.
Well, like I said, they're not – Joe, we're just football snobs. Let's call it that because we expect all football fans to be to the level that we're at where we just crunch numbers and watch games over and over again and try to be rational about it. You're trying to be rational with a bunch of irrational ass people. Most fans don't want to be rational. They just view the Lions how they view the Lions. You can't tell them otherwise. That's just how it is. Someone mentioned in the comment section, even if we make it to the Super Bowl and lose by a field goal, same old Lions. It's the same old Lion thing to make it all the way to the Super Bowl and lose by a field goal. They're never going to be anything. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. If we beat the Rams, it won't be on our own accord. But like I said, if you're being unbiased about the situation, man, I just, from my point of view, I look at which team does more things well. I understand a lot of times we harp on the quarterback position and that the quarterback is the difference maker and this and that. Does Stafford have the ability to come here and get it done? It does. He does. Yeah. But at the end of the day, man, like I said before, a team built like the Rams haven't been able to beat us all season.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about the Lions in terms of beating them. I think that we got plenty of advantages to take advantage of. You look at their left tackle, their tackles, and we don't know which one's going to play. Is it going to be Noteboom? Is it going to be Jackson? But
it don't matter.
Their pressure,
it doesn't matter.
The pressure at left tackle, that's where I would move Hutch. 26.8% of the time, that's where the pressure comes from. Yep. And for the Lions, it's Jonah Jackson. He's the 24.6, which it sucks because, you know, Jonah Jackson's going for, if I was Brett Holmes, it doesn't suck because I'd be like, look, bro, 24.6 of the time, pressure comes from you. So you got to cut that shit out. And maybe we'll give you a 2-year deal and then you can take a bridge deal kind of thing. But you know all these teams in the NFL suck at the offensive line. So it's gonna be like, oh, overpay. Like, what's that guy, Nate Solder that went to the Giants? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, from New England.
Yeah, they paid him all that money, and he was just a shell of himself. He went there, and it was absolutely brutal. Giants fans were like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah, I mean, Noteboom isn't any good anyway in his own right. No. And Alaric Jackson is terrible. So it's I keep going back to what it is, man. People just don't want to see it. This whole game right here, even though the Rams ain't nothing like the Lakers, but it has that whole beat LA going along with it, where it's like y'all just don't like us and don't want to give us the credit we deserve for what we are. And you think this team feast off of this. This is that type of bitter chip on the shoulder team right here. They hear this. They know the entire ESPN panel picked against them.
Yeah, and I think a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown takes that on. I think a guy like Hutch takes that on. I know a guy
I
like
think Goff takes it on in his own subtle way.
He's kind of quiet, but he ain't like St. Brown and Hutch and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson where he's going to speak about it. But I think that they all take it and they go, okay, Dan Campbell's putting that shit up right in the locker room. Like, look, no one believes in you, bro. No one believes in you, man. No one. Like, this is a perfect time for the Lions because I feel like with Matthew Stafford coming in, that's where all the media are going to gravitate towards too. And I just feel like this team is like, we don't know Matthew Stafford. Like, majority of these guys don't know who Matthew Stafford is.
And I want them that way. They're angry. I'm pretty sure they're bitter. They got a chip on their shoulder and they feel some type of way. I would too. This is our home game. We're 12-5. Regardless of how you feel about us, we finished with the same exact record as the 49ers.
Yep.
However we got there is however we got there, but they didn't finish with 14 wins. They finished with the same damn record as we finished. But they just don't want to respect it right now.
Yeah.
They don't, but, you know, you got to make them respect it. This team is, if you're comparing the team, this team is better.
They have
Aaron Donald, but we have more, I think, spread out throughout the roster. We have more difference makers, especially in the secondary at the safety position.
I feel like we're more equipped to handle a team like the LA Rams because of they want to go downfield. The safeties, a guy like Melifonwu coming out of nowhere has been great for this team. It's just been great. We needed someone like that. We need someone that could maybe play corner too. And I've seen the slot, like the alignments last game, because I was interested to see what that was. And you had Chauncey Gardner-Johnson playing safety a lot. And then Kirby Joseph playing safety. But you had Melifonwu playing a corner, like we said earlier. He'd be great against Puka Nacua. You can even put, you know, you could put freaking Chauncey Gardner-Johnson against Puka Nacua. And then, you know, Cameron Sutton, maybe he's going against a guy like Tutu Atwell, or maybe he's going against a Cooper Kupp who kind of, he can kind of match up well against. I mean, I seen the Pittsburgh Steelers go to LA with those garbage corners that they had and kind of hold them at bay.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, a lot of that comes back to matchups too. You know, it really does. I just think, and then isn't Higbee out also for the Rams?
He's questionable, but people are saying that he's not going to play. So I was reading something from one of the Rams writers, and they were saying like, yeah, he probably won't play, and hopefully he doesn't, because I mean, he's a good tight end. He's kind of like that action, but if I'm going to be honest, like if there's one player that's really showed how good he is against tight ends in terms of tackling them before he gets out, you know, gets a bloody yak yarder, it's been Derek Barnes and Alexander Zalone. I mean, as good as they, as bad as they are in pass coverage, they're exceptionally well at making a tackle and not letting a player get out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think another thing that we haven't talked about enough that kind of coincides with how good this run defense has gotten even better. They started the season very good, very good. The better and more comfortable and more alert Jack Campbell has played.
Oh, yeah.
The run defense has gotten even better. And I didn't think the run defense could get any better than what it was at the beginning of the season. They're beyond elite now.
No.
Once you go from 88.8 to 60.2, they've given up an average of 60.2 yards on the ground the last three or four games.
Yeah.
That's beyond elite.
Well, I think Jack
and Campbell, it got to a point where teams didn't even try to run. Remember, Tampa wasn't trying to really throw the ball even the prior three games before playing us, but Tampa just took it out of the equation. Yeah, that's what most teams did against us.
We ain't running. And Rashad White had a pretty damn good year, too. So, I mean, I look at this like this. Well, I think Jack Campbell has kind of grown up a little bit. He's becoming a player that we drafted in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brian Branch has grown up a little bit. He's gotten, the first game he made an impact on the game, but he's been playing exceptionally well the last 4 or 6 weeks. I mean, in the slot, he's been really freaking good. I mean, I think in the last 6 weeks, he's allowed, I think it's like 47% catch percentage, you know, reception percentage. So that tells you all you need to know. And I just think that this, you know, Mel Fonwu coming out of nowhere, it's been great for this team. And then you got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson coming back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That kind of gives you what. And then another person we haven't talked about much has been Hutch. I mean, Hutchinson, the last couple games, I mean, the last, I think it's 5-6 games, he's played like the player we expected him to be. You know what I'm saying? Me and you were in the middle of the season, we were talking about how Hutch needs to get together. And it was Greg Rice. Remember Greg Rice? He's like, man, Kayvon Thibodeau is playing damn good. And then all of a sudden, Hutch just has a 3-sack game against the Cowboys, who have a good offensive line. I'm excited to see what he does against this offensive line, because I feel like you know, we have feasted on bad offensive lines. You know, like the Raiders coming.
I don't care. I mean, I just wanted to see the production. And even if you look at the Dallas offensive line, Terrence Steele was kind of crap all season, and that was something that we discussed prior to that game, that before Hutchinson got a hold of him, Terrence had already given up 8 or 9 sacks on the season. He was playing very up and down. Tyron Smith, when he's out there and healthy, which isn't that often, still one of the best left tackles in football. Tyler Smith is a good football player, but he's still kind of inconsistent up and down. We were able to feast.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for you if you have a bad offensive line. We invested in ours.
No.
So I don't have to feel like I have to apologize if my defense goes out there and pushes your offensive line around. Get a better offensive line.
See, that's the funniest part is about, like, all these people. Like, I hear.
That'll be the excuse, too, if we push them around, too. Stafford didn't have an O-line.
I hear people saying all the time, like, they're like, well, you're lucky to have offensive line. Well, no, it's called scouting.
It's called drafting.
It's called drafting. And it's called making the right pick. I mean, look what's happened with Kansas City. I mean, their offensive line is not that great. But them having a guy like Creed Humphrey
is okay.
They're Creed Humphrey and Joe Thuney in the middle. All right, they'll help you out, you know. But you look at the freaking 49ers. I mean, Trent Williams. You think Trent Williams doesn't help the 49ers? I mean, like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, that's just the way it goes.
They missed on some offensive linemen, oddly enough. As great as they drafted defensive-wise in the trenches, some of their offensive linemen haven't panned out too much.
Oh, the 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 49ers. I feel like John Lynch has hit on, like, the picks that he's hit on, he's hit. like, you know, Fred Warner and some of these guys like Dre Greenlaw and everything. And then when he has a pick like, you know, number three overall for Trey Lance or, you know, Solomon Thomas. You're like, bro, what do you want? Like,
yeah. Was you... Reuben Foster a first round pick too?
Oh yeah, Reuben Foster was a first round pick. That was the guy that we were supposed to draft. Remember that?
Got, well, the guy with no shoulders. Yeah, I was telling people before the draft, like, this dude had like three shoulder injuries, bro. Y'all don't want him. Well, look at the big hits. That's another. Your boy wanted him too. Gator.
Gator.
Like, do this dude ever wrap anybody up, or is everything just I'm gonna blow you up?
I mean, the only person I like that blew people up was Nick Bolton. He's been pretty damn good with Kansas City.
But we did draft Jared Davis. Jared turned out to have a better career than him. I mean, that's not saying much.
Because Reuben Foster didn't last long.
Yeah, he didn't. didn't somebody just sign him on or bring him on for a workout?
I think it was the Dolphins.
Boy.
The Dolphins bring in everyone that has that, you know, they bring in everyone, bro. All right. Let's get to the keys of the game, because I think this is the most important part of the podcast. And I look at this, Walton, I think that me and you are in lockstep with our keys of the game. But what's your key to the game in terms of what you think about this game?
For us, I think starting in defensively, as I mentioned earlier in the show, get your best – during this time of year, make sure you get your best players on the field and you figure out within the scheme how to utilize them and put them in the best position to play well and win. Mm-hmm. The safeties, I want to see more sets with Ifeatu Melifonwu, Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch, he's a safety slash corner, and, of course, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I think the effect that Chauncey being back swag-wise and confidence-wise is going to have on that young team and that secondary is going to be great. Make sure it's – teams that have duos at the wide receiver position, like the Rams, it takes a collective job.
Yeah.
If you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they've been terrible in the secondary all year, but how do they? They didn't shut down Tyreek Hill, but they did a better job on Tyreek Hill earlier in the season, and it was by committee, and it was also by different coverages and different looks. I don't expect them to completely shut down those wide receivers, mainly because we haven't been able to do it in the past game all season. But if people cannot be so hung up on the passing yards, because this could be a game where one of them gets it. And I think it's like, instead of getting caught up in the game within the game, which is, okay, we got to shut down both of these dudes, either take Kupp away or take Puka away. That's pretty much it. You don't want this to turn into a game like we had against the Dolphins last season where two guys had 200 yards, I believe. Waddle and Tyreek Hill. So I think it's going to be by committee. They're going to have to do that as far as defensively. Offensively, we already know what the Rams want to do. I don't think they have the personnel to do it the way the Bears did it to us, the way the Packers did it to us, and the way the Ravens did it to us. They're going to play that cover three zone, or they're going to try to shut out the middle of the field. Run more concepts passing-wise on the split field. Get the small, not necessarily smaller, but get the faster guys out there. I want to see Antoine Green get more snaps on the perimeter. I want to see Donovan Peoples-Jones get more snaps on the perimeter. And, of course, Jameson Williams as well. We have to make sure we consistently stretch them on the perimeter and we just run those shallow digs underneath, those deep digs underneath. Find ways to manipulate the defense to get the middle of the field open, because that's how Jared gets in rhythm. You know, he needs those shorter passes to really help himself get in rhythm, and then that opens up everything deeper. Also, I think with Goff, it's going to be about the nerves too. We can't see things go bad early. So if Goff can manage this game, I didn't bring the running game up because I'm pretty confident they're going to be able to run the ball, and I'm pretty confident that they'll be able to shut down the run game on the other side of the football. So I've seen enough of this team. You've seen enough of this team to understand exactly what they are. I don't envision them changing up. I don't see a situation where at the end of this game we're talking about, well, damn, we only ran the ball 16 times. That's not going to happen with this team. I expect them to dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides where they've done all season. I expect the Rams to put up big passing yards the way we've given up all season. I expect Stafford to turn the ball over once or twice. I expect this team to not play above their heads. I think they're going to be into this moment. They understand how big of a game this is. It's huge for them. It's their first playoff game. It's our first home playoff game as a city, as far as Ford Field is concerned. I think that the Rams have too much going against them in this situation. I think Detroit's the better team as well. Can't hear you.
Avery, the Spirit of Detroit podcast. I had on mute for, I don't know why I had on mute. But Avery, he's in the comments, and he's saying they're not taking shit away. So he's probably talking about we not taking the Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua away, which, you know, I look at it like this, man. They don't have to take them away. They just have to eliminate the big play. You know, let them get their yards, whatever. I don't care. Let them get their yards. My thing is, what Aaron Glenn's defense has done exceptionally well the last couple weeks, and I know people, they want to bag on Aaron Glenn all the time, which is some bullshit, because he's going to get a coaching job, because he's done a really good job with this defense in terms of they haven't had their studs like we thought they would have. So he's done a good job, and Jefferson got his yards, you know, CeeDee Lamb got his yards, but guess what they had? 20 points. Like, if you hold a team to 20 points, I don't care about passing it. I don't care. All we could have heard about how Nick Mullins threw for 300 yards. Well, let him get his yards. Did he score enough? No. They took the ball away. And I think that the most important thing for a pass defense is taking the ball away. Don't care about passing yards. If you ain't taking the ball away, you're probably going to lose. You know what I'm saying? And then Avery also thinks that J-Mo will have a big day. And I'm interested because I think J-Mo is going to have a big day. I think J-Mo is going to have a huge day. I think this is a game where, when we talk about it, Walter, all the time, we talked about all of this whole season, man. We talked about J-Mo needs to get his, you know, he needs to get on par. We talked about all the things that he's, you know, he needs to get better at, like the body catches and all that stuff. But the last couple weeks, the last couple catches that he's made, like the one against Dallas, where he like literally had Stephon Gilmore on skates. Like, I was like, all right, dude, you want to do this? Let's do this. Like, I just love the way J-Mo is playing. And I think these corners that he's going against are going to give him no fits. You know, one thing I think J-Mo really struggles with is the physicality of a cornerback. So what I've noticed. I mean, when Stephon Gilmore got some hands on him, he kind of like didn't. When he got the break off Gilmore, he did pretty damn good. But for the most part, he don't like those physical corners. So these guys that you got today, he's just going to blow past them. I mean, there's none of them that can top his speed. None of them can run.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Rams have 17 games worth of film on us, so they know what they know. It's different being actually on the field with it. The Vikings were on the field with it twice, the Bears twice, Packers twice. They know how to play against us. It's different when you're actually on the field with that much speed. And we've heard that from a few teams that played the Lions this season, that we're faster than people understand, especially with a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs, J-Mo, as you mentioned. I also mentioned I felt that Antoine Green was another guy. You're not going to completely change what you are, philosophy as a team this time of year, but you do need to add a couple wrinkles. You do. I just think that the Rams have too many ways to be gotten on defense. They do. And offensively, people aren't talking about the offensive line enough for the Rams. Like, it's not good to begin with, and they're nicked up. I don't understand how people just figure without an offensive line, Stafford is just going to do this and that, and Kyron Williams is going to do this and that. And, like, people are paying so much attention to the ancillary parts and not what really matters, which is the trenches and the line of scrimmage. If you have no trenches and you have no line of scrimmage, what do you have?
Nothing.
Those receivers and the Rams run a lot of long developing routes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things about this matchup that just doesn't bode in the Rams' favor that people aren't really willing to admit.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, there's another guy that I think could have a big day, and it's a guy who's been clutch all year long in terms of getting first downs. I mean, half his catches come on first downs, and that's Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't think he has an axe to bear with Sean McVay? I mean, Sean McVay basically said, you ain't good enough, bro. Like,
it's going to be a collective effort the way it's been with us all season. It may take 13 catches from St. Brown, but it may take an extra 4 from Josh Reynolds, 2 for first downs, drive extenders. It may take 5 from J-Mo. It may take 3 from Donovan. And none of those dudes may even eclipse 100 yards, but in the playoffs, we need drive extenders.
Yeah.
We need a big play from time to time, but we need drive extenders. We got to be able to stay on the field on 3rd and 12.
Even
third
a guy
and
13, like,
3rd and 14.
Even a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs getting out of the backfield and maybe catching a screen.
Wheel routes.
And then taking it maybe 20, 25 yards. I mean, those are things that win you playoff games. You know, I think one of the things that people kind of miss about playoff football, I mean, I know a lot of Detroit fans are not used to, like, playoff football. Anyway, the rest of the nation should be used to playoff football. But the one thing in playoff football that matters the most is on crucial downs, do you got the guys that can catch the ball? You know, do you got guys that can come out of nowhere? Do you got mismatches against the defense? And I look at this Lions team, and Jahmyr Gibbs against their linebackers, sign me up. You know, St. Brown, J-Mo, DPJ, Josh Reynolds against these corners, sign me up. Laporta against their linebackers.
Well, let me ask you about Goff. I mean, I think he's the major elephant in the room. Like, do you have the confidence in him? Do you see him playing tight? If it's, let's say it's 3rd and 6, and they're getting the look coverage-wise that they want with J-Mo outside or in the slot, and he doesn't have that over-safety help, or even if the Rams do have the over-safety help, you're confident enough in J-Mo that J-Mo's going to blow the top off of that.
I think he's
Does he make the throw, or does he take the safe throw to check down, and then we end up looking at 4th and 2?
See, I think that if Goff is playing the way that he played against Denver or last week,
that's the best game he played all season. He looked like he was completely zoned in.
I feel like when Goff is zoned in, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. That's my feeling. Like, when he's on, he's on. Like, he just can't be stopped, because he's got a decent enough arm where he can make some throws. I mean, it's not, you know, we see it all the time. Obviously, he doesn't have a Josh Allen arm or a Patrick Mahomes arm, but I feel he can get the ball there. You know what I'm saying? And when I see when he was against Denver, I was like, that's the best he's played all year long. And I feel like there's been glimpses of that this season where he's played like that. And even last game, when Laporta went out, they started taking more deep shots. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but they started taking more deep shots to, like, St. Brown. And then there was Josh Reynolds. Like, I think Goff is kind of getting into this mode where, like, he knows what he has to do. And I feel like the Lions are kind of holding back some of their stuff that they've been.
No, he hears what we say in this town about him. Not us per se. Well, yeah, sometimes us per se. But he hears what people in this town say about him, that he can't get the ball downfield. That's why I was so happy to see that big-time throw to J-Mo a couple weeks ago. He hit him in stride like we never seen before.
Right.
Like, did you see the acceleration on J-Mo?
Yeah.
To get there.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that – and that's something also I believe needs to be a part of this game plan tonight.
Yeah. If you
J-Mo needs to get at least 3 of those.
If you
at least 3 of those looks.
I always looked at this team, though, man. Like, the Lions have this – they have a ability to stretch the field. They have the ability to go underneath. So as a defense, like, where are you going to play the coverage? Like, your safeties, where are they going to go? Are they going to go deep? Are they going to go short? And if they're going to go short, they're going to leave Jameson wild open, or DPJ, because DPJ can run deep routes too, or Josh Reynolds. I mean, that's the way it goes. So, like, you have to pick your poison, because if you commit too many people to the middle of the field, I think J-Mo, DPJ, Reynolds can beat you deep. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's a question I got for you. How do you simplify the game plan for a guy like DPJ? Because now on the Lions podcast show a few nights ago with John McEnroe, we asked him about it, and he brought up a valid point that happens with a lot of wide receivers, young wide receivers. He's a vet, but it's still an adjustment period for him. This offense isn't really the most athletically gifted wide receiver-friendly offense. Like, it's about timing.
Yeah.
That's what Jared Goff is about.
Yeah.
You know, as you mentioned, he's not Stafford. He's not Josh Allen. He's not going to just make you respect every blade of grass with his arm. That's not what he is. And it's okay. You don't have to necessarily be that. But,
no.
You know, there's still a big issue I had with this season and question with Goff was leaving big plays on the field.
Yeah.
Leaving points on the field. Do you now have the confidence in J-Mo to just to say, hey, you know what? I got that extra half a second. I'm going to just chuck this.
Yeah.
As hard as I can, because at the end of the day, I can't really out-throw J-Mo.
Right.
I think he understands that now.
Yeah.
But start giving him the confidence. You need him. Let's be honest about it. Even if we get past the Rams, James is done. James Mitchell is done with that broken hand.
Yeah.
He ain't coming back no time soon. LaPorta isn't going to be any healthier after this game.
No.
At all. Brock Wright still dealing with the hip injury. We're going to need him, not necessarily to put together a Larry Fitzgerald type of run, but we're going to need J-Mo to really come up big. We're going to need a committee. Like I said, I think there's a point in time where if this team is going to reach the NFC Championship or even further, we're going to need one of those by committee type of wide receiver rooms where one game maybe it was Donovan Peoples-Jones. One game it was J-Mo.
Yeah.
If Khalif comes back, maybe it's him. We're going to have to manufacture some points as well. Maybe special teams helps out.
Well, I look at the Eagles last year. You know, the Eagles last year going down the stretch, you know, the divisional round, the NFC Championship, each of those games they had someone different as the leading receiver, which I think is very, very interesting because they both have good receivers. But one of the receivers that was their leading receiver was Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth Gainwell was one of their leading receivers against the Giants.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just what I look at. Like, I know a lot of people were upset that the Lions drafted Jahmyr Gibbs that early because they were like, we could have got Jalen Carter. Like, why didn't you get us Jalen Carter? Well, you got Sam LaPorta. You got Jack Campbell. And if you have already anything out of Philly, Jalen Carter is not doing too hot. Just saying.
Yeah, none of those Bulldogs are, for the most part. No, I'll be honest, man.
Even Jordan Davis, I mean, I heard Brian Baldinger saying on a Philadelphia podcast that I follow, he was saying that Jordan Davis is out of shape, he's overweight, he can't stay on the field. And that was some of the things that people said about him in the draft process.
It's difficult for those abnormally big linemen, offensive linemen too.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I was surprised, DeJuan Jones from the Browns. I was shocked he played as well as he did for the season for the Browns because he was a guy heading to last year's draft I was terrified of.
Fair,
I just don't like those abnormally sized offensive linemen. They tend to always have some sort of health issues,
yes,
injury issues.
Thayer Munford was another one of those if we played for the Raiders this year.
Yeah.
He played pretty damn good this year, but I didn't think because of his size, and he was kind of unathletic, to be honest. I didn't think he'd be that good, but like you said, you're going to need guys down the stretch that are going to have to help you out. Like, I mean, it can't just be one person, and usually it's never just one person. I mean, even with the 49ers, we've seen when they went to the Super Bowl, it was Debo or it was Ayuk or it was Juwan Jennings or it was Kittle or it was
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, like, that's the way that you have to do it, man. Like, it's not – You have to have depth on offense. I think one of the most important things people kind of gloss over in this NFL is they go back to the old adage of defense wins championships and like defense, you know what I'm saying? And I go look at the last six Super Bowl champions. You probably got one elite defense there. Probably one. One. I think that was Tampa Bay.
I think even if we look at probably the Rams-Bengals Super Bowl, that was still a 23-20 game. So
yeah, but
the defense is still kind of show up, but I do think the defense matters. It depends on what your run is. Remember how great Peyton Manning's career was with the Colts.
Right.
They didn't win until the defense stepped up. That year against the Bears where they beat the Bears, like that defense went on a hell of a run. And I just found it ironic that it took the running game with Dominic Rhodes and Adai and all those guys and the defense to step up. And Peyton played like crap that playoff.
Yeah.
So it seems like the defense still matters. It matters a lot.
I ain't saying defense don't matter. I'm saying if you're going to put it in perspective, like you need a run game. You need to stop the run.
Oh, yeah.
If you give up points, I mean, no one's the Baltimore defense. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, people think you gotta be the Baltimore defense. You know what I'm saying? I look at the Kansas City Chiefs and go, look, I know they got Mahomes, but that defense wasn't that great. But when the time needed it and they needed to make a stop, they made a stop. And that's the most important thing. I think it's timing. How does your defense get off the field? And how does your defense not, like, stay on the field the whole game? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, you and I mentioned the Bengals prior in a few shows and even some private discussions. That was a defense that wasn't good, honestly, overall, the year that they went and lost to the Rams. But they played opportunistic defense.
Yeah.
They were still tops in the league in sacks with Trey Hendrickson.
I mean, look and at Eli Apple.
You got to luck up, too. You know, you got to play – when you're a struggling defense, you got to luck up and play some teams with some offenses that can't score at all. And Derek Carr and the Raiders couldn't score.
Right.
That helped them out a lot. That beat up Tennessee Titan offense.
Yep.
They couldn't score. That helped them out a lot. And like I said, by the time they got to the AFC Championship against KC, they had already beaten KC in the regular season. So they knew they could do what they did.
Yep.
You know, it's just the possessions in the playoffs are so tight. Coach a lot tighter. That's why you typically don't see blowouts the way you did with Houston and Cleveland that often. And if you do, a lot of times it's a wild card game like that.
Yeah.
I think Houston was just better. And they jumped on them early.
I think,
and once you jump on a team like Cleveland and then a defensive team like Cleveland early, is bad for them.
I think
Flacco has been turning the ball over since he got there also.
I think that D'Amico Ryans looked at that game when they lost to Cleveland. I mean, they lost to Cleveland. I think he looked at the game and he was like, okay, what do I need to get better? And I'm pretty sure what Dan Campbell did is he probably talked to Dennis Allen. Because Dennis Allen did a pretty good job for the most part of limiting that Rams offense to, you know, what they were doing. I mean, the Saints defense isn't good at all, and they've struggled all year long. But I think that he's probably talking to Dennis Allen going, okay, what did you see? Because, you know, these coaches talk to each other. I mean, they were from the same coaching tree. Probably Aaron Glenn's talking to them, you know what I'm saying? Like, what did you see? What would you do different? You know what I'm saying? Because they try to help their people, you know, like Sean McVay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think. I think that they're going to – and the thing I noticed about this Lions team is they blitzed the most over the last 5 to 6 weeks. That's the one thing that I know. They send pressure all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have guys now that are more comfortable in the position that they're in. As fans, we get very impatient when we don't see guys perform at a high level early.
Right.
Young football team.
Yep.
Branch looks a lot more comfortable. As we mentioned, Jack Campbell looks a lot more comfortable. We haven't seen anything from Broderick Martin, of course, but the more Pascal plays, the more comfortable he looks. And like I said, a guy like Levi Wuzurike, who has a specific skill set, interior pass rush. And the Rams have issues with interior pass rush. I just feel like people may feel like it's an eyeball take or whatever, but I just think that if you take guys with similar skill sets rushing the passer and Levi Wuzurike and Josh Pascal, put those guys in more 3-tech, 4-tech, 4-eye sets, because Pascal can line right up over the offensive tackle and give him problems, especially these tackles. So we need to take advantage of what our advantages are, man. I don't see any reasons why we can't dominate this football team.
I was talking with my girlfriend's dad, and I was saying, I think there's going to be a guy that we're not talking about, like a Anzarike, like a John Kaminsky, like a Benito Jones or someone that's going to play a big role in today's game. And I don't know, man. I do think it could be Levi Anzarike, to be honest. I think that he's showed a little bit of promise the last couple games. Like, he's just gotten better. And I looked at some of the snap counts that he's had on the you know, websites and everything. And he's played a lot better. I mean, there was some games where I think it was Dallas where he had a couple of hurries and a couple of pressures. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, he's going to get home. And I just think that there's a guy on this defense right now that we are not talking about that's going to be the guy that really sways this game. Yeah. And I think it's going to be someone on that defensive line, because I think it's going to be the guy that, you know, we're not really talking. I mean, we always talk about Aiden Hutchinson, how he's going to eat, you know what I'm saying? Against these tackles, you should eat. But this interior offensive pressure, I mean, I have the graphic right here. The guy who they're going to be going against, Coleman Shelton, I mean, he's 34 pressures allowed. Like, this guy in you know, quarterbacks like Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff, they hate pressure up the middle. They hate pressure up the middle, because if you get pressure up the middle – they ain't Patrick Mahomes, they ain't Josh Allen, they ain't Jalen Hurts. They ain't getting out of there.
Yeah, and, you know, it helps a lot having a lean back. Even if he's not fully healthy, he's still an upgrade at player.
Yep.
Why is the picture for my man on the left so small? Look like Aleem ate him or something, bro. But yeah. Like it's somebody's little brother starting in at right guard or something.
Well, he is like a little brother. I mean, like Aleem is huge compared to him.
Yeah.
I think Aleem got like Aleem got 40 pounds on this boy.
Yeah. You know, Levi, I think a big reason he hasn't played as much. In order to be a consistent every down D tackle in this offense, I mean, in this defense, they want you to be a much better player against the run.
Yep.
And he can't help it. I mean, that's not really what he is. Like, going back to Washington, he was 6'2", 285 pounds. He was a bull in the China shop. Pass rush. I mean, that's what he is.
I mean, if you're going to be honest, like, I always tell people when they're drafting these players from, like, Washington or, like, a Big 12 school or something like that.
They haven't panned out. A lot of those Washington players haven't panned out either.
Number one, you're drafting a guy based on his pass rush ability because that's all they do in the Pac-12 and the Big 12. And, like, if you're drafting a guy like Levi Onwuzurike, you got to understand that, like, there's going to be an acclimation period for him becoming a run-stop defensive tackle. I mean, a guy like Aleem McNeil, right? He went to North Carolina State. He played in the ACC. And the ACC, they run the ball a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's like the SEC and the Big Ten. Like, if you're a defensive tackle in the SEC and the Big Ten, you better hold your horses. Like, you're going to have to stop the run. Like,
you out there to hold water all day.
Yeah,
that's what you're out there to do.
You got guys in the Pac-12 and the Big 12. They're just like, all right, bro, we're just rushing the passer all game. It's 7-on-7, basically. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
All right, so I got my parlay of the day. I know people like this, but I got the Lions money line. I got Stafford 250, Goff 250, Kyron Williams under 82.5 yards. So that's under 82.5. Gibbs 40, Montgomery 40. Amon-Ra St. Brown over 87.5. Amon-Ra 6 receptions, and the Lions over 27.5 points. $20 is going to win you $406. So if you want that, that's a good parlay. I think that'll be pretty. I'm going to have a couple more because I'll figure something out. But I think this game is going to come down to St. Brown. I really want to put a J-Mo parlay in because I think J-Mo is going to have a big day. But I think if you're going to be safe, that's what you want to do. But that's what I think.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of money out there to be made.
Yeah.
At least for people who are betting on the Lions in this game. I expect a major offensive explosion from this team, man.
I think if you want to go risky, you go 60 yards for Montgomery, 50 yards for Gibbs, maybe J-Mo 40 yards because I think he can get that easily if he hits a deep shot. And then if LaPorta is active, that's someone that you got to look towards too. Maybe you get like 25 yards. See what I'm saying? Or maybe under, because I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough, but we'll see how it goes. But
J-Mo rushing yards.
J-Mo rushing yards. I wonder how much that'd be. That'd be crazy.
I'm just saying, this is, if you look at the Rams defensively, this is a linebacking core and a secondary that can be taken advantage of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think a guy like DPJ, too, I think he could have a big game, too.
Yeah.
I know we were talking about this earlier, but, like, I think that, you know, the timing and the rhythm – I think eventually when you get to the playoffs, like, you just got to – I know Goff is a kind of timing and rhythm kind of guy, but at this point in the season, like, you just got to go to your players. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He hasn't played enough with Green. He hasn't played enough with DPJ. He has no Khalif Raymond no more for this game. So he's got to go to certain other people, and I'm pretty sure Goff can do that. It's not going to be as hard as we think it is going to be, but I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to go to Gibbs and Montgomery and – I just think this offense is going to take advantage of this Rams defense. That's what I think. So we'll end the podcast pretty much here. But is there any last closing thoughts you got?
This has been a long time coming, man. Congratulations to Lions fans. It's great to be able to do Lions content that's positive.
Yep.
I can't imagine the people who had YouTube channels or Facebook channels or whatever streaming platforms and spent the last 10 plus years doing Lions content, like especially like during the Matt Millen era, the Bob Quinn era. You guys deserve this, man. We put up with a lot.
Martin,
I think we finally, I feel comfortable saying that we finally have a quality GM, a quality head coach. Does he have his flaws? Yes, he does. But we need to understand that this guy has taken us from 3-13-1 to 9-8 to 12 wins this year. This team was good enough and with a few breaks could have been a 14-win team if we being honest about it. But you have a quality football team here. They're young. They're growing. They have a lot of talent that started out kind of slippery this earlier this season, but they did what we asked them to do. They're playing their best football heading into the playoffs. I remember at the beginning of the season with the Jahmyr Gibbs against Seattle and Jahmyr Gibbs against Atlanta, and people were wondering whether or not Jahmyr was a wasted pick, whether or not Jack Campbell was a bust. These guys now play major roles in us having a potential playoff run, right along with Sam Laporta, who's going to go out there and gut it out, looks like. And I just want fans to understand that, man, it's okay to be confident in your football team. You don't have to be over-pessimistic. And it seems like a lot of Lions fans feel guilty for saying that this team is good. Or they feel guilty for saying they're going to beat the Rams. You don't have to feel that way. This is a quality football team, man. Now, you can feel the way you want to feel about the quarterback position. That's neither here nor there. But this team has probably been the most consistent team in the NFC all season. This team never lost two straight, let alone three straight, like the 49ers did. Purdy had a streak of bad games, then had another streak of bad games, and people still put him in the MVP conversation. You know, now, do I think we're better than the 49ers overall humming? No, probably not. But at the end of the day, they finished with the same record as us. We're here. We won our marathon. We got there at the 12-5. We didn't trail off the way the Eagles did. We didn't implode the way the Eagles did. So I think it's all about matchups. This team has a run in them, I believe. We were never destined to play the Eagles and 49ers at any given time anyway, I don't believe. This team has the opportunity if you look at, like I said, if the Packers beat Dallas, which is possible, and Tampa beats Philly, which most people think Tampa will take down Philly, this is a team that could possibly have back-to-back home playoff games. So, like I said, enjoy the game tonight, man, and get ready for a hell of a game. I expect this crowd to be raucous, and it's going to be difficult. It's going to be real difficult, I think, for this Ram team to come in here and get a victory tonight. I got 36-24.
Muted.
Yeah.
I don't know what – I think it did on that thing, but I know people are asking, will this be podcasted on the podcast platforms of Spotify and Apple? Yes, it will. So if you're going to the game – I got a little bit of word of advice for you. If you're going to the game, you got to be loud while they're in the huddle, number one. Number two, be loud when they're kicking field goals because their field goal team absolutely sucks. They brought back Brett Maher, and we all know who Brett Maher is, missing extra points all the time. And in this kind of game, extra points will matter. So if they miss one extra point, boom, that could be the kind of – that opens the floodgates. You know what I'm saying? Because then you're going to be chasing that extra point the next time you get that touchdown. So that's what I think the Lions fans need to do. You know, when they're listening to this, you know, as a podcast, you know, it's going to be available after this live feed. It'll be available. So when you're talking about being loud, be loud on those certain times. And then this is something that you've earned. I mean, I think that I've been doing this for 10 years now. Yeah, 10 years because it's 10-year anniversary. I've seen Martin Mayhew. I've seen Bob Quinn. I've seen total countless years of futility where the team was built half-ass, if we're going to be honest. I mean, all those years we talked about the 2014 Lions with the Sue and the Fairley, that was still a half-ass team, if we're going to be honest, because they couldn't defend the pass at all, and they gave up big plays all the time, especially Cassius Vaughn, dumbass.
Hey, but hold on now. Remember this. We had playmakers.
We did.
Glover Quinn and Dre Bly made a ton of plays. They made up for a lot.
Yeah.
We were opportunistic.
Darius Slay. Damn sure that. Darius Slay and Glover Quinn. Yeah. And they're going to be in the house today. I heard Glover Quinn's going to be there. I heard
Calvin there.
Calvin's going to be there. You know who else is going to be there? Snacks. I never expected Snacks to come back to Detroit. But guess what? Bob Quinn ain't here. Matt Patricia ain't here. You got a coach that everyone absolutely freaking adores. You're at home for the first time in Ford Field history with a playoff game. Like, this is a total chance for you to take advantage. I don't care what the national media says, because a lot of the national media is stupid anyways, because they don't even know that the Lions play at the Ford Field. I got Michael Irvin saying they still play at the Silverdome, bro. Hey. Silverdome is gone.
He say, what? The Lions have a good rushing attack? Whoa. Let me look that up.
He's like, the Silverdome is going to be loud. It's like, bro, the Silverdome has been dead and gone for like probably 10 years, 20 years now. You know what I'm saying? It turned into like one of those, what are those called? Those atriums where all the freaking grass grows and everything. It's not the same. So all I got to tell people is enjoy the night. Have fun. You've earned this. You've gone through a lot of bullshit. I know. You know. Walt knows. Everyone knows that's in Detroit. Like, you finally got, like what Walt said, you finally got a general manager who does it the right way. You make the right picks. You've got picks that you made in the sixth round that are paying dividends for you, even undrafted free agents. Like,
When's the last time we've seen the Lions team get better every year? Like, even like the Stafford Lions would be good 1 year and then turn around, be 4-12 or whatever, and this and that. And you mentioned how this team was built. We've always seen explosive offensive Lion teams going back to when they had Kramer and they had Scott Mitchell and Herman Moore and Perryman and Johnny Morton and David Sloan. And we've always seen explosive Lions football teams, Jermaine Crowell. Like, they've always drafted wide receivers well. But I thought Schwartz tried to take the right approach. Now, ultimately, Schwartz is just better as a coordinator than he is as a head coach. But I think we got to give Schwartz some credit, because Schwartz took over that 0-16 team. He drafted Stafford number one overall. He didn't have him his first 2 years. Now, once Stafford got healthy, he hit a stride year three. That was a disappointment. I thought that heading into the following season, after that team lost to the Saints, we still saw Stafford perform well. Calvin had 200 yards. The expectations for that Lions team was super high, man. And for them to kind of let us down the way they did was heartbreaking, I thought. And then things kind of fell off after that. Things were dysfunctional around Stafford the whole time he was here.
Yeah.
So I don't fault him the way I do. I mean, the way I think a lot of people do. But it took us sacrificing Stafford for us to get a competent organization, because if Stafford never would have left, we wouldn't have what we have right now.
No, because we wouldn't have Melifonwu, we wouldn't have J-Mo, we wouldn't have Laporta, Gibbs. I mean,
can be right. I think things worked out for Stafford and things worked out for us. We have a competent organization now.
I think the same thing. I mean, there's one game I do blame Stafford for, and I will never stop blaming Stafford for. It was a Cowboy game, because I felt like that third quarter that he went in the hole, like he just that's the kind of Stafford that I'm kind of looking for.
Him or Caldwell? I thought it was a collective blaming, because those dudes dropped like four passes that game too.
Well,
Calvin even had a drop on that final drive.
There's something that Goff has that I think Stafford never had, and it's just this dog mentality. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Goff developed it over that course of that 3-13 season, where, like, look, dude, like, I have to change the way I'm thinking. Like, you know, some quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, like, when they know that things aren't going their way, they just start forcing it. Like, they say, I'm going to win this game by myself, right? Even Jalen Hurts does the same thing. Like, there's games where he's not playing well and his team's not playing well, and he just starts making plays out of nowhere. And you're like, wow. Like, that's all I'm talking about. Like, Matthew Stafford, the one thing I had a problem with Matthew Stafford was he'd make every cute play that you think, the sidearms and all that stuff. But when it came down to you needing a first down, he didn't do it. He just didn't do it. And it took for him to have an all-star LA Rams team for them to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. I mean, like, what team wouldn't win with the Super Bowl like that? Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham.
I think Stafford, dog, and then, you know, the the killer instinct to really go for it. I think Stafford has it in him. I had it in him. Mainly because he has the arm talent.
Yeah.
And he has the gall. And in a lot of cases, that'll if you go back, you watch a lot of Ram film with Stafford. It looks like a lot of Lion film, but Stafford just has the confidence to just – and this is what not necessarily bothers me about Stafford now, and I think this is also something people have to look out for. Stafford doesn't always take the easy stuff.
No.
He'll pass up easy, ignorant. He'll just settle on ignorant. He'll take this throw that he has no business making. He'll make it. He'll make three straight. And then where do most of his pick sixes come from? A lot of that cover two outside zone and guys breaking. Why do you think the Rams took a lot of that out of the playbook with him?
Yeah, that's a good point.
They know what he does well and what he doesn't do well. And all of those long developing routes with a long lumbering Puka Nacua out there. And Cooper Kupp, he's been injured the last couple of years. He's not the same guy. I'm not buying with this fear that people are trying to sell.
No.
At all. Now, do I respect the Rams? Of course I do.
Of course, yeah.
But I respect my team as well. And I'm just not seeing it in the matchup. To me, everything points towards the Rams losing this game.
Yep. And I look at it like this. I don't know if you've realized this. Walt, I know a lot of people in the national media haven't because they're kind of stupid anyways. But... but there's like Aaron Glenn against Stafford. I don't, if you go back over those years where, you know, Aaron Glenn was a secondary coach at New Orleans, his worst games came against the New Orleans Saints. There was one game, I think in particular, where it was probably his worst game of his career. And then he had that one Monday Night Football game where they kind of passed all over and like Marshawn Lattimore was hurt, whatever, and they won that Monday Night Football game. Like, that was a game that they won. But over the course, he has not done good against Saints defense. I'm pretty sure Aaron Glenn knows how to neutralize Stafford in terms of what he doesn't like and what he likes. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing I do like about Aaron Glenn. I know a lot of people, even my, you know, Tyler, they'll say, oh, Aaron Glenn doesn't adjust. Bro, Aaron Glenn's been adjusting this whole year. The problem is he hasn't had the dogs to adjust. You know what I'm saying? When Cameron Sutton's struggling, Jerry Jacobs is struggling, those are your two corners that, you know, you're going with. I'm going to tell you it's not going to end up good for your defensive coordinator. I mean, that's just the way it is. But the fact of the matter is this. He's adjusted really, really well, especially in the last 6 weeks. They blitz more. They get more pressure on the quarterback. And if there's a quarterback that doesn't like blitz, it's Matthew Stafford. Like, Matthew Stafford doesn't like the blitz.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people are kind of overselling how, quote-unquote, hot Stafford has been the second half of the season. This is a dude who still had worse stats than Goff.
Yeah.
Dude had 24-11. Now, yeah. I do give the Rams credit. I think McVay has done a hell of a coaching job with this team, considering the way Stafford's been nicked up throughout the season. The defensive limitations, as you and I mentioned, the offensive line limitations they've had. So for him to win 10 games with this roster, I think is incredible.
Right.
Incredible.
Yeah. You know, I think even the Rams people are saying if they can get to 500, that was a win. But I mean, I just look at it like this, like you got to 500, you got above 500, you caught some breaks along the lines with the later half of your schedule. And I just think that with the way that Stafford's been playing all year long, I mean, there's games where he's played very, very good. And there's games where he's played very, very, like, pedestrian. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at some of these games, like, he's got – against the Giants, I expect you to throw for 300 yards. You know, I expect you to throw for 300 yards against the New Orleans Saints because their pass defense with no Lattimore is just nothing. But when you struggle against the Washington Commanders, who we all know suck as a pass defense –
And pass rush.
Yeah. And then you have a good game kind of with the Baltimore Ravens, but, you know, 23 for 41, that ain't that great. I mean, that's a 56 completion percentage. You know what I'm saying? But when he went against these top echelon teams like Dallas, 162 yards passing. Seattle, which is not a top echelon team, but they held him to 190 yards passing. Pittsburgh, they don't have a good pass defense. 231 yards passing. I mean, like, there's games where he has not played as well, and those games tie back to his run game. So, I mean, we've been talking about it. If there's any team that's able to stop the Rams, it's the Detroit Lions because they can stop the run.
Well, that and the Steelers were also able to create pressure.
Yeah. Well, you got to get pressure on Stafford. That's number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the only team I think that didn't get pressure on him was it the Seahawks? Because they didn't get a sack in that game. So that was crazy. But all right, man. It was great having you on the podcast, and we'll have to do it again because this was great. But yeah, I just think that this game is going to come down to special teams. As you see, like 31st in the NFL, they struggle in special teams. They're giving up the worst in the NFL average per return. If I'm looking at this in particular, I think that whoever's punt is handling the punt return today, I think it's going to be TPJ. But maybe
Antoine Green back there.
Man, you know what? I heard someone say put Jamison back there, and I could tell you something. If Dan Campbell and Dave Phipp want to put a real wrinkle in the game,
that place will erupt if Jamison goes back there to return the punt.
Can you imagine, man? They're going to be like, oh, man, it's going to be great. But enjoy the time. I think the Lions are going to win, too. I'm thinking like 34-24 kind of thing. Because I think they're going to miss a field goal. I mean, an extra point at some point. They're going to be chasing points. And I think that's going to really tailspin this game. And I think the Lions are going to get a punt return that they don't expect. It's going to put them in plus territory. And I think that this run game is going to run on the Rams. So I like it. And it's been a good podcast, man. I was so happy to have you on. And if you guys were, you tune in halfway through the episode, we will put this on the Apple Spotify. I'll put this on the Lions page. And then you could listen to it before the game. We got a couple hours before the game. And there's no 1 o'clock game because Buffalo's getting snowed out right now. So we'll see you guys in the next podcast at the Detroit Lions News podcast. Thank you for watching, and we will see you in the next podcast, hopefully after a win.